Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. Let's read Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen, amen. This is God's word. I'm so happy and privileged to share this word with you because we're going to start a new series called Jesus is King. We have president in this country. We have kings and queens, and all around the world we have rulerships. But Jesus is the ultimate true king. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his kingdom is the ultimate true kingdom because the world that we're living in is fractured with sin and death. However, the ultimate kingdom of God is infinitely glorious and infinitely precious. And that's something that we're going to look at today because we're going to learn about the kingdom of God. And in our human mind, we cannot truly understand it because we never seen the kingdom of God and how it looks like. So that we think and we can imagine that it must be like this country or that country. But that is very, very wrong. We need to look at the kingdom of God from scripture, how God sees. And Jesus himself is explaining the kingdom, his kingdom. It is so precious that you should be rejoiceful and you should be able to buy it through selling everything that you have. So that's something that we're going to look at. So let's pray together so that God would help us to understand this wonderful truth about the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word and we're so thankful for your kingdom. Father, we do not know fully about your kingdom. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead us to understand, but not just understand it, but we would rejoice over it and we would really cherish it and value it more than any other things. So we would be happy, we would be satisfied because of who you are and because of your kingdom. So please help us and guide us, Lord. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name we prayed. Amen. Amen. So we just read a scripture, the Bible verses from Matthew 13, 44, 46. It is a very explicit statement and explanation from Jesus himself. He talks about this kingdom, and there are three parts that we're going to look at. It can be broken into this way. The first one is seeking the kingdom of God. And the second one is enjoying, rejoicing over the kingdom of God. And the third one is buying the kingdom of God. Now, the first one is seeking the kingdom of God. If you look at verses 45 and 46, you see the merchant who is seeking what? The pearl. Now, we know that pearl is very precious and the jewel, and not everyone is seeking for the pearl, but in this context, Jesus is using this as an illustration. He was not literally meaning you should be a merchant looking for the pearl. But Jesus is really comparing, illustrating the kingdom of God is like this pearl, the very precious pearl. But the first thing he did, the merchant did, was what? Seeking the pearl, the treasure. Now, we need to seek the kingdom of God just like this merchant did. Now, if you look at Matthew is really emphasizing on this, seeking, because in chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, this is a very encouraging scripture verse because you might be caught up with so many things that you are stressed about and you are troubled about, but Jesus is saying, you know, just lay them all down. And what you need to really seek is this, not money, not success, not respect from other people, but God's kingdom. That is your priority. So seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. So that is the promise from Jesus himself. But what you and I need to do is to seek his kingdom. Okay, just like this merchant were doing. Probably this merchant's his main job, or he spent most of his time in seeking this kingdom of God, so that you and I really need to seek the kingdom of God more than any other things. And then also in the chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, it talks about the seeking, seek and it will be found, and knock on the door and it will be opened. What does that mean? You know, when you seek, you are not just the seeking and that's the end of it. No, it will be found. What a wonderful promise is that. So it's not an unsearchable, it's not an unopenable. It is openable, it is searchable. So that seek and you will be, it will be found to you, found by you. And knock on the door of heaven, knock on the door of the kingdom of God, and it will be opened for you. So what you and I need to do is seeking with diligence. Okay, we need to have that desire to seek to know what the kingdom of God is. So that is the first step. But if you are not seeking God's kingdom, then you know it will not be even shown to you, right? Because it says that it shows that you are not even interested in the kingdom of God, right? You are not even interested who God is, who Jesus is. And if you are not interested, if you are not seeking, if you are not loving, if you are not desiring for those things, then it will not be shown to you, right? But if you are seeking money, if you are seeking all those things, you'll have a lot of trouble, as you already know, right? So seek the kingdom of God more than any other things. Now, the second one is this. Rejoice over the kingdom of God. Because we see in the this verse, verse 45 and verse 6, this man, no, 44, the man who found the treasure hidden in the field, when he found it, what did he do? He was rejoiced over it. And then he sold everything that he had to buy the field. Now, before we go into buying the field, you need to be rejoicing. If you are not rejoicing, that means you don't really see any value of it. Then if you don't see any value of it, then you are not going to buy it, right? That's just a natural process. So before buying, you need to have the moment of rejoicing, right? So in this case, rejoice over the kingdom of God. Now, you are seeking for it. I don't know how long you would be seeking, but when you seek like 2 years or 3 years and 4 years, and at the end of it, that you find the kingdom of God, which is infinitely glorious, then what would be the outcome? What would be your response? You will be rejoicing over that. And that is something mentioned and emphasized so many times in scripture, because rejoice is not a concept, but rejoice is actually a command. That God wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be joyful more than any other things. So Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. And Psalm 16:8 also says, God is in front of me and he is right next to me, so I will not be shaken. So I rejoice over that, and it not just in my mind, my spirit, but even my body stays safely. What an amazing verse. So God is really wanting us to rejoice over the kingdom of God that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, I've been memorizing the First Peter. It's an amazing, amazing book. I really want to encourage you to memorize that book as well. It's just amazing to show why we need to be rejoiceful over the gospel, the kingdom of God. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, blessed be the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his mercy has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, right? So the grace of God has caused you to be born again, to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a what? To a living hope. You're not just a Christian. You have hope, but that's not just a hope. It is a living hope. Why is that? Because of Jesus' resurrection. So your hope is not perishing. Your hope is eternal hope because of resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not the end. It says to obtain inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow, this is an inheritance, the promise of inheritance that will never perish, that will never be destroyed. And it is reserved for you in heaven. You are protected by the Holy Spirit through faith for salvation, which is to be revealed in the last time. In this, Hear me, in this, you greatly rejoice. So there is a level of rejoice. Not everyone is happy, right? For a long time. But there is a, this is the greater level of joy that you greatly, you rejoice greatly. Although sometimes you are distressed by many trials, but the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which is tested by fire, that you may be found result in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So although you have not seen him, but you believe him, and you do not see him now, but you love him, in this you greatly rejoice again in the joy inexpressible and full of glory. So this is the 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is an amazing passage. Again, it shows the reason why we should be rejoicing. Because of Christ Jesus, what he has done, because of we are born again, we are Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ, but not just that, we have inheritance that is waiting for us, the inheritance that will never perish away. So no matter what difficulties and trials and situations we're going through right now, we can be joyful greatly in a great full of glory and honor for his glory. So that should be the joy that we must have. Now, I've been going through the whole Bible. It's called the 70 Days Journey to the Bible, entire Bible, and some of you are already participating in. I pray and hope that you are enjoying it so much as I am. Now, in the Deuteronomy, that's the book that we're in right now, it talks about two things. The first, remember for what God has already done. Second, rejoice over God, what God will do. Isn't it simple? Remember what God has done in the past and rejoice what God will do for the future. And that should be our life pattern as well. We need to remember what God has done. You need to remember what God has done in your life already. And we need to rejoice over what God will do. Now, when we see this year in 2020 and next year 2021, probably you may not have a lot of hope or expectation for the next year, but not about the coronavirus, not about the world, global warming and all of this. We need to have a God's perspective to see the future. Again, it is about the inheritance, imperishable kingdom of God, right? We need to seek God's kingdom and the perfect kingdom so that we can be rejoiceful. We can rejoice over what is going to come. The kingdom of God, the eternal inheritance. And that is something that we need to do. Remember, rejoice. Remember and rejoice. Now, let me ask a question. Are you rejoicing it? Are you rejoicing over? Are you remembering what God has done? Are you rejoicing over what God will do in the future? Now, for me, before I came to Jesus Christ, I was a very religious person. You know, I grew up in the church, and my father, my grandfather, all of them were pastors. So people were looking at me as a little pastor. They had a great expectation that I would act as a pastor's kid. So I was kind of following their expectations. And I was reading the Bible, I was going to the church worship services, and just like anybody else, and it was just okay for me. But let me tell you, I had no joy in my heart. I did not even know I was pretending, but when others were smiling and praising God with lifting their hands up on high, you know, I did that, but in my heart I was like, you know, why am I doing this? Why was I doing this? And there's no joy inside of my heart. But in September 2000, that's when I truly met Jesus Christ. I was going through deep guilty for 2 years, and I was seeking for salvation, forgiveness. I was praying to God earnestly that, God, please save me. This is so hard. Please save me, God. Please forgive my sin. And 2 years, I was in a very deep darkness. But in September 2000, you know, God saved me through Hebrews chapter 10:10. Jesus died for my sins, my past, present, and future sins. I experienced the power, supernatural power of the blood of Jesus Christ, which washed away all my sins. I experienced for the first time in my life the true joy because of the gospel, because of what God has done. Since that time, my life has changed. I was going to the church worship service, I was going to the mission and all of that, not because I had to or expectation from other people, but because of the joy inside of my heart. Joy is so important. Are you rejoicing because of what God has done, not because of what you have, what you live, where you live, or what kind of successful person you are, not because of that, but just because of what God has done in your life, because of God saved you, because of God loves you. Are you rejoicing over that? If you don't have that joy, probably you need to ask a very hard question. Am I really saved? Am I really born again? Am I really Christian? If I'm not, that's why I don't really have any joy, you know. But, you know, there could be some ups and downs. Of course, I was not happy always, like 365, 24/7. Sometimes I was frustrated or discouraged. However, the joy has been there, right? Joy was penetrating in my heart, filling in my heart again, and sustains my heart as well, and grows my walk with Christ more and more. So there should be an evident, clear evidence, joy in your heart. If not, you really need to come to Jesus Christ and know His love and mercy for you today, so that your hearts would be changed, so that you would have a true joy in your heart that motivates you and that generates you to move forward. Okay, so seek for the joy, seek for the kingdom of God, so that you will know what it is, so that you will have a joy in your heart. Just thinking about the First Peter, I want to encourage you to read First Peter again and again, 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 and see why you need to be rejoicing. It is because of what Christ has done, His death on the cross, His resurrection for the eternal life. If you don't know what it is, pray to the Lord that God, please give me understanding so I can understand the gospel, I can believe it, so that I may have this joy. That should be your prayer today. Not just to me, the Bible is very serious about that. You need to have that joy. If not, you cannot go to the next, which is this: buying the kingdom of God. With joy, you will see the value of the kingdom and you will buy it by selling everything you have. Now, what does that mean? You know, in this story, the verse 44 through 46, we see these two people, like this merchant and the other guy who was buying the field. Both of them bought it, right? By how? By selling everything they had. Isn't it interesting? Why did they have to sell everything? I mean, could they just sell 10% of what they have, or 25% of what they had, so that, you know, they can still keep 80% or 75% of what they have, and the treasure and the pearl as an addition to what they have? Isn't that smart? Here in this context, Jesus was illustrating this story and saying that you need to sell everything, because the value of the treasure, value of the pearl, was equal to or more than what you have, right? So that's why these people were gladly selling everything to buy that pearl, to buy that treasure, right? They were not reluctantly or hesitating to buy it. They were not even thinking about, oh, should I buy or should I keep some? No, without thinking. It was a no-brainer, because the treasure in front of them, the pearl in front of them, was just so much valuable than anything else that they had. So without hesitation, with gladness, they bought it. That is the kingdom of God. When you truly know the kingdom of God, the first response is this: what? Joy, right? You will be joyful. And the second is this: oh, look at me. You know what? The kingdom of God is so great. The salvation is so great. The gospel is so great. What I have known, what I have had so far, this is nothing. Wow, that's what Paul said. Everything that I have is rubbish. I mean, he was the smartest person ever, right? He had a PhD or PhDs, and he had a promising future if he stayed in what he used to be, right? But comparing to Jesus Christ, infinite value of Jesus Christ, everything that he had, he owned, was rubbish, right? That's just a nice way of saying excrement. So that is the value shifting happening here so that you are happily and gladly selling everything that you have. Of course, it doesn't really mean literal selling everything, like that you become homeless and all. No, that's not what it means here, right? It really means about the value, that the kingdom of God must be the first value, most valuable thing to you and your life, so that the kingdom of God must be the priority of your life. That's what it means here. So, how? Why is it so valuable and worthy? Because when you think about the world that we are living in, the things that you have in your pocket, compare them to the kingdom of God, which is imperishable, infinitely glorious. Then you may think, wow, the value is so different. What you have is nothing compared to the kingdom of God. I mean, the world, look at the worldly king. Even President Trump got a COVID-19. He's a human, right? He's not God, right? But God, Jesus, is a healer. He is an infinite, the Son of God. He is risen from the dead. So he is eternal, right? Compared to all the, you know, the perishable things, the gold and metals and the papers on the wall, they're all perishing. But we have the kingdom of God, which is imperishable. And we have all the temporary things in the world that will decay eventually. But we have eternal, the kingdom of God. And we have all the impurity in the world that's going on. But we have a pure, the kingdom of God, which has no defect. So compare them. You see the answer. You see the value, infinite worth of the kingdom of God, right? So that you will seek it, and when you find it, you will be rejoicing it. And when you rejoice it, you will buy it by selling all those things. You know, you cannot really buy the kingdom of God with what you have, because the kingdom of God is so much valuable than what you have. But how can you buy it? It is purchased through Jesus Christ. He paid it for you. He paid the penalty for your sins. So through Jesus Christ, through believing in Jesus Christ, you can receive the kingdom of God. Jesus is the only way to get the kingdom of God. So come to Jesus today. If you have not followed Jesus Christ, come to Jesus and believe in him. Rejoice over him. Remember what he has done and rejoice what he will do in your life, so that you will be always filled with joy and satisfaction. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. That is what it means to live as a Christian. And that is what it means to live as the born again followers. So I really pray and hope that this would be your joy. The kingdom of God would be yours, would be ours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your kingdom, which is imperishable, which is perfect, which is infinitely valuable. Father, we pray that our hearts would be seeking and with desire, with passion for your kingdom, Lord. So we will not seek for other things, but we will seek for you, for your kingdom, Lord, so that our hearts would be filled with the joy when we see it, when we find it. And we will make it as our priority more than any other things, so that we will not value the other things more than the kingdom of God, so that we can cherish it and we can share it. Because we cherish it, the people need to hear about the kingdom of God. So let our hearts would be naturally drawn to sharing the word of God, the gospel with other people, Lord. So Father, please help us and guide us, Lord. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name, I prayed. Amen.